Okay, it's September, what are we, 23rd already? Sunday morning at 7:11 here at Chestnut and Laurel. It's about 10 to 11. We're talking to
Marty Herman.
Marty, you were part of the Critical Mass bicycle ride on Friday evening.
Yes, I was.
Tell me about it. When did it begin?
Well, it began around 5 p.m. or so. People started gathering at the clock tower. And around about 5:30, probably 40 to 50 cyclists began taking off just in typical Critical Mass fashion.
This happens every month?
Yeah, about every month.
The same number of people as every month?
Generally, yeah, definitely.
You weren't planning some massive civil disobedience?
Not at all. The whole tones of the whole time was basically a focus on peace, given the current events going around.
War hysteria?
Yeah, certainly. And so we thought we'd try to bring a message of peace through cycling, which is usually what Critical Mass always does, but a particular focus for this one, given the war hysteria and everything.
Now, San Francisco Critical Mass has been doing things like blocking intersections or going slow through traffic, and they had lots of people, and there was controversy in the 1997-98 around that, mainly as a protest against the failure of the city to provide facilities for bicyclists, bike lanes, and so forth. I know there's been some controversy about the Bremer Broadway bike path and a failure to provide bike paths on Soquel. Any of that figure into this?
Oh, certainly. I mean, every time we take to the streets, it's a presence of cyclists, so that cyclists are out there, that we need the accommodations, because obviously they aren't there. And if we end up slowing down traffic, well, that's, an indication of unsuitable accommodations for us out on the streets. And so definitely that is a focus every time we come out there. And what we try to do is through various chants and just spreading messages to people, talking to people along the way and drivers in their cars, and telling them what this is about. This is about, this entire, our entire world being shaped to accommodate the vehicle, and that people who are out there putting energy into sustainable transportation, into, making, helping to save the world, in essence, how we're not being accommodated in any way, and in fact, are being extremely oppressed, and this was no more better typified than it was this last Friday.
Yeah, bicycle, of course, is much more cost-effective means of transportation, both in terms of how much it costs to run it, the kind of pollution it gives, the space it takes up, and the space it allows the community to maintain. You've seen, of course, the classic poster, which has, 15 cars, and you see people sitting in these little chairs taking up, huge blocks of space, and they could all, of course, be either on bicycles or on a public bus. I speak, of course, as a car user here, but anyway, getting back to the key issue here, which was a little article I saw in the Sentinel, and of course, as well as the words of other folks, that the police, for some reason, seem to be interested in interfering with your protest.
Yeah, well, what seemed to happen is basically usually the police usually pick up on the Critical Mass being fallen for a while, mild forms of harassment generally, because obviously, it's not typical, it's out of the ordinary seeing these cyclists out there. So, of course, anything out of the ordinary gives the, police a reason to have a vengeance of sorts. I mean, that's their function, essentially, in this culture. However, so what we started doing was after probably about 45 minutes of biking, during which time, about two-thirds of the time, we were going faster than traffic. So we were passing massive amount of cars on Soquel Avenue while we were, trying to do chants about bike lanes and stuff in that area.
And you were not actually violating any laws?
No, none at all. We are definitely, I guess there's some various penal codes that say once you're blocking more than five cars or something in traffic, then that's, you have to pull aside. However, that was never at once the case with this ride. Like I said, once again, if that law was actually to be upheld, then every single person driving on Soquel Avenue that day should have been ticketed because they were blocking us, since we are traffic as cyclists. And so we basically, the tones were anti-war. We were doing various anti-war chants and stuff. Definitely peaceful and positive the entire time. As we were biking down, turned around Soquel down Water Street, definitely the police presence all of a sudden picked up.
How many police people were there?
Well, by that time, there were probably about four different motorcyclist cops, and you can always see at random intersections, there were the police paddy wagons and police cars. Also, I thought I remember seeing a couple of county sheriff cars. Just, they always pull up at the intersection, and you see them again in their intersection up ahead, just sort of monitoring you, in essence to keep the peace. But the reality is, every time there's a critical mass, the complete tone of the ride changes, because naturally, given the type of people, too, that are in critical mass, we're immediately intimidated when we come to see police, and that... And that's just because of, because of their roles and because of what they've historically done in this town, especially. And so we started, once we started going down Water Street, one officer, Bailey, I don't remember his first name, on a motorcycle began demanding that we move over into one lane only. Once we got to the bottom of Water Street, we had been taking both lanes. However, there was no issue at all since we were not blocking traffic. There was remotely any traffic whatsoever on the road at that time. And we were moving along swiftly and peacefully. Once I said, I reiterate how, like, what a positive tone the entire thing was. But once we got down, we passed Ocean Street and Water Street, Officer Bailey began driving through the left lane and physically nudging cyclists with his motorcycles, definitely putting their lives at risk, physically making contact and brushing aside them, speeding up against cyclists who had moved it all into the lane and trying to and slamming on his brakes to cut them off.
This was something you actually saw?
Yeah, oh, I saw it with my own eyes.
How close were you to
everyone else? I was probably about 3 feet away. I was staying in the right lane actually that whole time, and so I was never
I was never nudged
at all. But I mean, that was his tactic, was physically and potentially putting, you know, cyclists' lives at risk while he was, you know, driving along on a motorcycle. And you know, there was no reason to it. No violations had occurred. It was just basically them trying to hurt us because they realized, you know, critical mass. I mean, even though we're doing it totally legally, you know, it's out of the ordinary. And they wanted to bring back order in a sense.
And so there was also an ideology in terms of the war business.
Yes, definitely. Actually, we could tell once the chants started heading more in the direction of anti-war, that seemed to be right when the police bill that began happening. And you know, it was never like, I say anti-war, but whatever, wasn't the tone. The tone was peace.
Pro-peace.
Pro-peace, yeah, chanting peace, bikes not bombs.
So as you came down Water Street, and then what happened?
As we came out of Water Street, all of a sudden, Officer Bailey completely stopped a woman who was cycling and then began asking, I guess at that point he was prepared to cite her, giving her a traffic violation. She stopped, and they're right on the in the median there on Water Street in front of the county building. And I don't know exactly what came on. Everyone all of a sudden stopped. The entire ride stopped once we saw that one of the cyclists had begun to be harassed by Officer Bailey. I guess what happened was he began asking her for ID, and she knew she had committed no offense. And I guess she wasn't giving him.
Was she eventually cited with her defense?
Yeah. Well, what happened then in L.A.? All of a sudden, she was pulled off her bike by Officer Bailey and handcuffed.
Physically
pulled off her bike and handcuffed.
Right.
At which point, we were extremely outraged because this was our friend. You know, this was our.
Her name
was Jean, I believe. I don't know.
Do you know what she was charged with?
She ended up getting charged with. I think obstruction of justice, and which was a misdemeanor, I believe. I know she had one.
Obstructing an officer.
Yeah, obstructing an officer, and one misdemeanor and two traffic violations.
What those traffic violations were?
I think it might have been just obstructing traffic, or I'm not
traffic
positive.
Heavy at this point?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not even on
Friday
Water
afternoon
Street.
About?
Friday afternoon around probably this time 6:30 or so. And so we were on Water Street, and then everyone, basically we were outraged, you know, because it was totally unjust, and so we stopped. Just stopped in the street right then, and everyone just got off their bikes and just began to make demands and interrogating the police, like, what are you doing right now? You know, why are you creating
this
anger?
How many police
were
there?
By that point, all of a sudden, about instantly, there were probably about six police roaming right around us with their motorcycles. But then a couple minutes later, I'd say they had sent in the whole cavalry. There are cops all along flares along Ocean Street because they blocked off Ocean Street.
I saw that. I was coming about that point.
Yeah.
Up Water Street. Mm-hmm. I mean, up Ocean Street.
Yeah, they completely blocked off the intersection there.
Blocked off one lane?
One lane. One lane of Water Street. And at that point...
Fully in that direction or only one part of that lane?
Fully in that direction. And the lane didn't stop. There were probably at that time still about 40 people. And we were, you know, just chanting and just, like, you know, demanding. They were not responding, giving us no reason for arresting her.
You have any peace signs, by the way?
Yeah, there are peace signs. There are peace signs flying, peace flags flying off the backs of bikes, peace signs.
Any honks of encouragement or hostility from passing cars?
It was definitely one of the most supportive and most peaceful and exciting critical masses I've ever been to in Santa Cruz County. We were just everywhere we went. So many honks, people just cheering us on from the streets. Going by the high school, the entire Santa Cruz High swim team was just cheering us on. Just everyone was ecstatic because they saw it was this message of peace, you know, and it was just Absolutely.
What about when you stopped at Water Street when this incident with the police happened? Were all people? Was there any response from the public to that?
Well, there really wasn't much public around. The public that was pouring out the county building and so forth, many people went up to him, informed him what was going on, and they themselves seemed outraged. They seemed disgusted looking at the situation, because obviously it was a case where innocent people were being oppressed.
What happened then? As you say, they pulled Gina, her name is?
Yeah, they pulled Gina, and she went, took away. We didn't know what was going on. We stayed there. It was confusion. Pursued, and we didn't really know what to do. All we knew was just like what was going on. Like, law has been taken like out of our hands, you know, and they're supposed to be the ones creating peace, you know, to serve and protect here. That wasn't occurring at all. They had been endangering our lives with their motorcycles, and now they were, you know, locking away people. And like, we just knew as a community of cyclists, we can't stand for that, for the amount of oppression we receive on a daily basis by not being accommodated. But then to have us, when we go out and force, try together to try to spread the message of peace and for further accommodation.
What happened next?
For cyclists. Well, everyone stand around in confusion for a little bit, and then eventually decided to get moving again, because they declared it an unlawful assembly and said they were going to come in and arrest people, and they said they were going to open up Water Street and that they could not guarantee the safety of our lives. Which is kind of ironic, considering they're the ones initially endangering it.
Who told you this, please?
No idea. It was some cop over a loudspeaker. Okay. I believe it may be one of the...
How long had you been there when this message was delivered?
By the time, about 10 minutes. Stopped in the intersection there.
Then what did you do?
So then people picked up and started moving again, because we wanted to stick together, but we definitely were not interested in being that confrontational. We were just like nevertheless we were outraged. So we headed down Ocean Street. And then kept going. By then, we had a massive, massive police presence following us on every intersection when we came around.
Heading toward the beach on Ocean Street?
Headed towards the beach, yeah. We ended up cutting off and headed to downtown again. Ironically, once we got to downtown Pacific, police were completely gone, given that it was Friday evening and everyone was out shopping. You know, they couldn't have that image of them following us and harassing us. So they were gone. But then once we got to the end of downtown, another near, right at the corner of Church Street, Cooper Street and Pacific by the movie theater there, all of a sudden a woman who was not wearing a shirt, a cop tried to cite her for indecent exposure, which in itself is not punishable in Santa Cruz County. We should automatically... stopped in the area and began to demand that she be let go.
She was a cyclist too,
yeah. And we just began to demand that, you know, we were just, you know, shouting. Everyone was upset, you know, and there's lines of cops already downtown.
How many?
Probably by that time, there were probably about at least 25 cops around. And then we were chanting, and all the people on the streets were around, and you could tell everyone was just like, what the hell is going on? I mean, it was a sick display of the Santa Cruz police force.
What time was this?
This was probably getting close to about 6:45 to 7, I believe. But eventually they decided to let her go, and then we began headed to Pacific and then cut back up Water Street towards Mission. And of course, tons of police were still following. It was just like completely absurd. And once we got into Mission, once again we were moving faster than traffic, the mass, and a couple people were in both lanes. Cops began nudging people again, and as we began to near Laurel Street, all of a sudden we saw a complete line of cops come out into the middle of Mission Street at Laurel in front of the food bin there and began to physically block the street, as if potentially waiting to just do a mass arrest of something, you know, even though still no infractions had occurred whatsoever.
Hold it. Thank you very much for calling in, Judith. I'm going to roll. I got to rush.
Okay, bye.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's a very important situation there. You can see where Fitzmaurice likes to posture about being liberal nationally. Locally, of course, he's thrown protesters, and I should say lobbyists, out of his offices, spent city money harassing them, the Coffee Klatch 3, for five long months, refused to take any action to increase shelter, and in fact kept the sleeping ban repeal off the agenda, and now is hostile to Camp Paradise, and has been for quite a while. Now, when there's a lot of community support, of course, this council will turn completely around, because their job, when their jobs are up, they're going to start responding to city pressure, I mean to pressure from the community, and that is what we need to do, put pressure on the community. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing today, Robert?
I'm good. This sounds like the infamous old lady scar arms.
Actually, it isn't.
I'm sorry. My mistake.
You should apologize to old lady scar.
I would like to apologize to everyone, including old lady scar arms.
This would be Earth Mommer.
Of course. Who else would it be?
Old lady scar arms.
It could be
old. Yes.
But no.
Your show's, who's coming up after you?
I don't know. Maybe the V-Man, maybe Skidmark Bob. Not sure what's happening.
I heard you you had some bikers in there earlier.
Bicyclists.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was the woman that was stopped for being topless.
Oh,
for indecent exposure.
And what happened? What was the result of that?
Well, they didn't produce the woman, so I didn't have to produce my ID.
Hmm.
And I was very happy with that.
Did they attempt to arrest you, or?
No, he said, a woman wants to have you cited for indecent exposure, and I said, no problem, I'll sign your citation and I'll show up in court.
Mm-hmm.
But, because I don't want to be arrested.
I understand.
Really don't want to be arrested.
I thought that issue was decided 20 years ago about women being able to take off their shirts. If men can do it, women should be able to do it, too. I mean, it's very simple.
Yeah, I basically told him that I didn't realize that was a law here in Santa Cruz, and I was pretty surprised that he thought it was.
Mm-hmm. I think he's wrong.
Yeah, I was really surprised. But
who was deciding officer?
I later realized that it may have been a tactic to stop the bicyclists long enough so that the police could get into position better to assault them when they went towards Mission.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure.
Right.
A slowdown tactic, because they didn't arrest me. And, you know, the other thing was he probably wanted to see how compliant I would be, because I was being loud and proud.
Good for you, Earth Mommer.
And topless.
And I heard you also did some interviewing of the bicyclists on your own show.
I did have a couple of the bicyclists, because there were several that got arrested from Free Radio.
Hmm.
And so we had a couple on my show, and it's good to have. I'm glad that you had other people on my show. And one of the things that I wanted to say was the most beautiful thing about the critical mass for me this time was that there was a lot of people that I don't know. So the fact that that the people that were on your show, like, they called me the woman and they didn't really even know anything about me or who I was, but they still were part of my group, you know, my critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I was with a bunch of strangers, kind of, but we all knew each other in this weird way. I don't know, it was like a family.
Community of interest, yeah.
It was really nice, you know, even though I don't know hardly any of the people's names that were around me, like their faces I'll remember and their smiles I'll remember, their support I'll remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the police told me to pull over and I freaked out and panicked and called them all back, they all came back and they all showed support and yelled for me.
Mm-hmm.
And told them to let me go and everything. It was really nice. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you.
See, that kind of solidarity is important, and we had one caller call in, actually, Grant, called in from Martin Revolution saying he thought perhaps people were too harsh on the police and that they were, you know, antagonizing them. But I think that, you know, if the police are engaging in behavior that is inappropriate, and he may not have been talking about this, it's important for the folks involved to show solidarity. Otherwise, you're less likely to feel able to take off your shirt. You're less likely to be able to ride through town on a bicycle and a group of people trying to reclaim the space that bicyclists should have, but don't.
Totally.
Alrighty.
And I think that was something that we were really trying to do, too. And I appreciate that the police may have had a hard time with us after several hours, especially after they arrested the first bicyclist. And we all got very angry when they took away Mistress Violet. That was wrong. I mean, we all knew. We all saw, well, not all of us, but we all knew that he ran into her. A lot of people saw him run into her.
Officer Bailey.
Yeah, Officer Bailey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he ran into Mistress Violet, and it was very upsetting to a lot of people. And if he wouldn't have done that, the ride would have been a lot better for everyone, including the police.
Mm-hmm.
But if anyone thinks that we were instigating it, I would have to say that it actually began with the police, and we were very upset. And I feel that we were rightly, you know, right to be upset, especially in the long run when they were beating everyone up with billy clubs. I mean, come on.
They had billy clubs out?
That's what I heard. I actually did not see it, though.
You're the first person who's mentioned the word billy club. I did mention people being dragged across the street, and there were bruises on people's faces, or one person's face. Anyway, I got a roll.
Okay.
Thank you for calling
Bye.
In, Earth Mommer.
And we are at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Looks like the I hear the squeakings of the door as the inimitable V-Man takes over the show. I did promise to play a segment of tape from Kate's response to the corrections to some of the accounts of Pamela Lee Spires, who talked about police abuse, and she actually supports Pamela in her account of the police abuse, but has some concerns about some of the other things, and we're trying to air her perspective. I don't think we're going to have time to do that unless we're going to give it an additional 10 minutes, which I don't know. Let me get the word from the V-Man. I see that we've gotten the thumbs down on that one. It's 10 minutes. So what we're going to do is we will play that. I'd like to apologize to Kate if she's listening or those who want to hear it. We'll try to play that next Thursday at the next edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, which is going to be happening 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And again, I remind you, come to the council meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, not just to support Camp Paradise, support Critical Mass, support folks who want to use the farmer's market, and frankly, support me. I'm going to court at least. I face a, 6 months in jail, $1,000 fine for trespass with intent to interfere with a business. And we need to be able to stand up and do that. I'd like to be able to walk through the farmer's market next Wednesday with a petition. I don't think that's criminal behavior. I think it's criminal behavior to try to arrest someone for doing it. So get back to us. Give a call to 423-HUFF if you want to support Critical Mass, Camp Paradise, the Farmers Market protest, or just want more information on what's going on. Come to the HUFF meeting. I'll be having a HUFF meeting 145, kind of a mellow, quick meeting at the Coffee Roasting Company downtown. And the regular HUFF meeting will be around 8 o'clock in the morning for a very brief HUFF meeting before we go off to court on Wednesday morning, September 26th, to check out the Camp Paradise cases and other stuff that's happening in court. So 423-4833 is the number to call. If you want to catch me off air, I'll be happy to return your call. Thanks for listening today. Sorry we couldn't get everybody in, and sorry that we didn't get as much in as we hoped to get in, but we got stuff in. So thanks for being with us.